Hello, everybody. We're a couple of sugar poops, and this is the 138th Simpsons Podcast.
Beat on the brat, beat on the brat, beat on the brat with a baseball bat. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right. We are the podcast that explores the show The Simpsons from season 11 and beyond. Why 11 and beyond, you ask? Well, we figure there are already a bunch of shows that already do the golden age, seasons 1 through 10 of The Simpsons, and we want to find the good stuff to reignite our passion for the show in the later seasons. I am half an annoyed rent boy, Steve, and with me, as always...
Your other sugar poop, Craig.
That's right. We're a couple of sugar poops.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. You should probably listen to find out.
Is that a teaser, Steve?
I like to tease. How's the week been, Craig?
Nothing happens anymore, Steve. It's fine.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, nothing happens to me. The rest of the world, it does, but I'm just podcasting with you.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
If only we podcast someone else.
Well, Craig, I'd like to inform you that we did.
What?
Yes, that's right. We were guests on the Squared Circle Squares podcast, which is a wrestling and pop culture comedy podcast, and we talked about The Simpsons. It was a lot of fun.
It was. Mickey was the host and did a great job and really enjoyed it and would like to talk to him again. So
yeah, we will probably talk to him again, and it was a good time. Also, I want to say thank you to everyone who listened to Eye Off Springfield. That was a real pleasure to do, and we look forward to doing more of those soon.
We don't know what it'll be. We'll try to do something extra, maybe at least once a month.
And listeners, if you have anything that you'd like us to talk about, please send it to us through our email or our social medias.
So where can people listen to us on the Squared Circle Squares podcast, Steve?
It is available on Facebook and YouTube.
So I just look up Squared Circle Squares.
But yeah, it was a good time, and you should check it out.
I was on it, so.
Listener, it was a good time. You should check it out. Craig, you can do what you want.
All right, well, you know what I want to do, Steve?
What do you want to do?
I want to time travel.
When do you want to go back to?
I want to go back to the year 2006.
What if we went to, like, September 24th?
I'll allow it.
Alrighty.
Watch yourself.
Okay, but you better tell me, what was the number one movie in the box office?
Why, I think it was the sequel to the movie Jackass, or Burrow, as it was in the Spanish markets.
Yes.
Jackass number two.
Or Burrow Dos.
Steve, do you enjoy the Jackasses?
I do. It's been a while since I've seen the movies, the series was fun. And it's just dumb good times that I enjoy it.
Yep. Steve, what was our number one song of that week?
Well, Craig, the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 was Sexy Back by Justin Timberlake.
I'm bringing sexy back. Yeah. You motherfuckers, watch your eye attack. Yeah. If that's your girl, better watch your back. Yeah. Cause she'll burn it up for me, and that's a fact.
Yeah. Take her to the cars. Come here, girl.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
Come to the back.
Go ahead, be gone with it.
VIP.
I feel like I've played this song more than any other song on this podcast now.
Yeah, I feel like you're right.
We've had the Sexy Back. That was like number one for like, 3 years now?
I think so, yeah.
All right. Some good old JT. Justin Timberlake, not JTT.
Aw, that's a bummer. Yeah. He was the dreamboat.
And now he's a boring yacht. All right, Steve, let's just watch this episode, which is called Please Homer, Don't Hammer Them.
That's right. It's the third episode of the 18th season. Homer finds himself in deep trouble after taking credit for Marge's carpentry skills. Meanwhile, Bart taunts Principal Skinner with a peanut.
All right, Steve, I'm going to taunt your peanut and then come back and we'll talk about this episode.
All right, taunt away. My peanut awaits.
Your nuts in my face.
We're back. Today we're talking about Please Homer, Don't Hammer Him, the third episode of the 18th season. It originally aired on September 24th, 2006. It is episode 381 in the show's run. Your nerd code is HABF20. It was written by Matthew Warburton, directed by Mike B. Anderson and Ralph Sosa, and your showrunner is Al Jean.
So we've had a couple episodes of Matt Warburton. I think the last one we did was just a few episodes ago, The Great Simpsina.
Oh, yeah.
You're jealous of him because he's only a couple years older than us.
I know. It's true.
Don't forget Three Gays of the Condo.
Also good.
earlier episodes. And was a producer and writer on Mindy Project. Another reason why Steve hates him is because he got to work with Mindy Kaling, and that's Steve's dream.
I don't know if it's my dream. It would be pretty cool. I mean,
Steve, it's your goddamn dream.
Okay, fine. It's my dream to work with Mindy Kaling. That's why I get up every morning. I admit it. I've never seen an episode of the Mindy Project. I will say that she has a show on Netflix that she produced, Never Have I Ever. And that was a good show. I like that show.
Did you know she was on The Office?
What?
Yeah.
That's some trivia I didn't know.
Speaking of trivia that you didn't know, you know this title is episode, Please Homer, Don't Hammer Them?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a reference to one of your favorite rappers, MC Hammer.
Oh, yes.
His album, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him.
Wow. That segue was as useful as that trivia.
Especially since this episode came out 2006 and that album was probably, what, already like 20 years old?
yeah, it probably came out like 89 or 90. So
it came out in 1990 when The Simpsons was fresh and new.
Yeah, it's definitely out of time.
Well, speaking of time, let's get on with this episode.
Alrighty, Keg. Well, we'll start off as we kind of normally do. We have a couch gag. But in place of a couch, there's a vending machine in The Simpsons living room. And on the top row of the machine, we have Homer, Marge, Maggie, Lisa, on Bart, and Bart. On the second row, we have Mo, Lenny, Carl, Patty, and Apu. And then the third row consists of Mr. Burns, Smithers, Nelson, Miss Krabappel, and Krusty. Ralph runs in, selects C5, causing a Homer to fall down, the one behind him quickly replacing him. Ralph bites off the head of a small Homer with a satisfying plastic chewing sound.
So when I first saw that, I understand that it's food, but at first I thought I was like, hey, this is a good idea. Action figure vending machines. I thought they were action figures.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love that.
Like, I know like a lot of collectors like to keep their action figures and the packaging and, you know, display it that way. But as a kid, you didn't care.
No.
It would have been great if we were kids and like they just had like, oh, look, Darth Vader's. Or like, stock up on your stormtroopers. Like Cobra Commanders. Or what were the Cobra equivalents to stormtroopers?
The Vipers, mostly.
So you'd have like a bunch of Vipers.
I always wanted to be one of those rich kids who had like a dozen Vipers so they could have like a whole army.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted when I was a kid. I wanted like all these stormtroopers and all like the foot soldiers from Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, I think I'm going to buy a vending machine and then do that. I'm just going to buy a bunch of like go to a bunch of thrift stores and, you know, get a bunch of old 80s toys and just load them up in a vending machine.
That'd be pretty rad.
It seems like something like a hipster bar would have, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are here in Portland, there used to be bars, but there used to also be vending machines and bars. And they're originally for cigarettes, but when smoking declined, they started putting like wacky things in there, like poem books and like condoms and toys, probably action figures, to be honest with you. So, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be kind of fun to like a ground control or something like that. They should have like an action figure.
Oh, yeah.
A vending machine. That'd be kind of cool. All right. Well, Steve, I was looking at that vending machine though, the couch gag there.
Uh-huh.
There seems to be some blunders, unfortunately. Well, so Ralph seemingly is selecting C1, not C5. Also, there seems to be no rhyme or reason as the order of the vending machine, as it's C5 to G9, A2, B3, or C4. Steve, that's not how vending machines work.
Oh, boy.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
You know what's funny is when I'm pulling these clips, a lot of times I will do a lot of research to find other people's boners or blunders. This one was all me.
So, wow.
I know it's usually pedantic and dumb, and I'm not saying that isn't, but it was all me. I just happened to look at it, and it just drove me crazy that the vending machines were all like it's a grid system. It's really simple.
You know how I feel about that, Steve, that you did the initial blunder?
How's that?
You're a real jerk, you know that?
Sorry.
I mean, this one.
Woohoo! Oh, okay. Yay.
Or this one.
Clash of Castles.
Yes, that's the best one.
All right.
Our episode proper begins at the Springfield Mall, which is quite dilapidated and run down. It hasn't been quite the same since they murdered the mayor's dad there. Inside, we see a number of sad stores, such as
1987 calendars,
which could be reused in 1998, 2009, 2015, 2026, 2037, and so on.
Did you ever save a calendar so you can reuse it?
I always intended to, but I don't think I ever did.
All right, real quick. I have one calendar, and it was a Quantum Leap calendar from the TV show Quantum Leap. But they only ever produced one calendar, and I think it was like a 1993 calendar, and I've reused it once now.
Yeah, and you can probably use it again in...
Pretty soon, yeah. I don't know how...
Probably 2021, maybe.
Ooh, nice.
Also, there's... I can... Aside from maybe Back to the Future, there's a few calendars that are more appropriate to be reused that I can think of. Onto our list of stores.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
We have Yesterday's Puppies, which is a pet store full of overgrown puppies in cages.
So you mean dogs?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Yesterday's puppies are today's dogs.
We got Dukakis's campaign headquarters.
Ooh. And a JCPenney's used to be there.
Now it's a collection of candle kiosks and Persian CD stores.
How you doing, bro? We got the latest Banabil, Uma Shang Shang, the flower song. Uma Shang Shang, Uma Shang Shang, Uma Shang Shang. It's like Bruce Springsteen, the boss, yeah?
I guess.
If you buy now, I give you a toothache cream. Toothache cream.
Deal.
We have deal.
Was that Sacha Baron Cohen's character?
Well, I mean, he was from Jerusalem, but maybe he moved over to Persia.
So this was 2006. Steve, do you remember something from your memories, not mine? See, there was a mall that you worked at, mm-hmm. and literally when Lisa's like, it's a selection of candle kiosks and Persian CD stores. Like, that's literally the mall I remember that you worked at.
Yeah, so it's two anchor stores where a Kmart and a Target.
Well, the Target came later.
It did. That's when the mall was in decline slash repair. I don't know.
Yeah, the entire mall is gone now.
Right. But yeah, we had a tobacco store. One of those stores that sells, like, always has, like, a suit of armor out front and sells, like, knives and crystal dragons.
Yeah.
A hobby shop. And where I worked, which was a Indonesian gift store that sold, like, wood tchotchkes, Nag Champa incense, flammable hippie girl dresses, and really expensive drums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a fun story. It was two, wasn't it? Two stories.
It was, yeah.
Wow, you got to work with stairs.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. I mean, it was a weird thing because it was owned by this couple. The wife was from England. The husband was from Florida. Strangely, the wife had no accent whatsoever. The husband from Tallahassee, though, would always say, like, "Go smoke a fag. I need to put my stuff in the trolley." And it's like, dude, you're from Tallahassee.
I wonder what they're up to now.
I don't know. Hope they're doing well.
Yeah. I remember the old Jansen Beach Mall.
Yeah.
A carousel. I think there was, what, like three restaurants in the food court? Like, it was like a Taco Time and...
There was a bad Subway, or not a Subway, but a bad sandwich place. Mm-hmm. There was a bad Chinese food place and like a bad like grilled meat place.
Yeah. I think there was at least like four mattress stores in there too.
Yeah, probably.
And Payless Shoes or a Foot Locker.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Target destroyed it all.
That's right. Target still stands.
Well, no, it doesn't. They had to rebuild it, too.
That's true. They replaced the Barnes & Noble there.
Oh, there was a Big and Tall. I remember that one, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's all coming back to me now.
Oh, yeah. Like, malls inherently are kind of sad. This one, though, was a special kind of sad.
You know, back in, like, the even the before times, before us, because it used to be an amusement park.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be roller coasters and I guess just one roller coaster, but yeah, the beach. Do we call it the beach? I don't know.
The JB.
Yeah, the JB. Well, speaking of that JB, that doesn't make any sense. That Persian CD store, Steve,
mm-hmm.
is in the mall of the Simpsons Mall. Is a reference to an anti-American marches in Iran, as Iran and the United States have no diplomatic ties.
Well, the rest of the world caught up with Iran because we barely have diplomatic ties with anybody now. Not a political podcast.
I have a diplomatic ascot. That's dumb. Meanwhile,
Bart checks out the rundown shopping center's arcade, Captain Blip's Zapateria. There he finds fun cabinet games such as...
Unipede.
Click Clack.
Remington Steel, the game.
Rocky III versus Clara Peller.
Yo, where's the beef?
You ain't so bad.
Where's the beef? I don't know why. I did it in Stallone's voice over time. He was looking for the beef, too.
You ain't so bad.
Where's the beef?
All right. Remember the Where's the Beef guys? I was way Wendy's.
Yeah.
I just had Wendy's the other night.
I've been thinking about it.
I know I'm not supposed to, but...
Yeah, I know.
I had to get the spicy chicken sandwich and some spicy nugs. Yum.
Mm, nice.
Yeah. The return of Devil's Advocate, Steve.
That's right. We got Polybus, property of the U.S. government.
And Triangle Wars.
So, Craig, a little trivia about Polybus. It's shown with only one button and the words printed, property of U.S. government. Polybus is a reference to a popular urban myth about a supposed arcade game released to the public in 1981 that caused its players to go insane, causing them to suffer from intense stress, horrific nightmares, and even suicidal tendencies.
I wonder if, like, Angry Video Game Nerd did a video about that.
Oh, that's a good question. And if you folks don't know of Angry Video Game Nerd, I don't know if he's still doing anything, but back in the early 2000s, he was a lot of fun.
He probably came out during this time, like 2006. Isn't that when when we were
watching. I'd say you're right.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, there's another little trivia here.
Ooh.
So the last game, Triangle Wars, has the logo shaped like a clear imitation of the shaping of the letters of the Star Wars logo with the S on the end and the Wars looking like the S. Yeah. And in addition, Triangle Wars is a game where the player flies a spaceship. Yet another reference to Star Wars is this episode. The video game also parodies the arcade games of Asteroids and Quix.
Cool.
I was always an Asteroids fan.
Yeah, I like Asteroids and I like Centipede too. Those were fun games.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Bart comments that these games are so old that must have been the Pilgrims to achieve those high scores. He then begins to play a game of Triangle Wars, but isn't sure if he's trying to destroy the triangles or assemble them. Whatever he's doing is working because his ship is pooping triangles. And he won a free game, Steve, which he reluctantly plays.
Yeah, I always remember that when you were playing a game and you're just like, I'm kind of done with this game. But you spent a whole quarter on it, so you feel like you have to like keep on playing.
Yeah, I remember there was this arcade in Astoria, Oregon, which is a coastal town. And they were kind of like a kitschy retro arcade, you know, with old 80s, 90s, you know, arcade games. And they would have occasional games just for free to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd go up and play and be like, oh, that was fun. And then it's like, I'm not dead. And I keep advancing. I don't want to keep playing, though.
Anyway, Homer, much like the rapper 50 Cent, visits the candy shop and is eager to get some bulk gummy worms. The Hey Buddy guy, acting as candy shop employee, warns Homer that the chewy sweet candy has been sitting there for a long time, and he should probably think twice before purchasing the candy.
I feel like that that candy, that gummy stuff, doesn't really go bad that quickly.
No, it's pure sugar. I mean, what is it going
to
do?
Well, Homer, undeterred, won't let that clerk or anyone else tell him how many times to think. He opens the plunger and gummy worms ooze out of the tube in one long cylindrical log sugar poop, I'll call it. And Marge informs her husband that he is not allowed to bring that gummy worm log home. So he deep throats the whole thing.
Ooh.
And then he feels a pang of regret. And it doesn't taste like he anticipated.
Sugar Poops would be a bad name to call your significant other.
I was going to say like a band name.
Yeah.
Like, oh. If, like an all-girl band. Where are the Sugar Poops?
Yay!
Actually, why does it have to be an all-girl band, Steve? We start our own band, the Sugar Poops.
Alrighty, I like it.
Can we just do like covers of old... we'll do covers of like Archie songs.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Da, 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 da,
Sugar.
Da, poops.
Honey, honey.
Sugar Poops.
You're my candy poop. Candy poop. Okay. Anyway, so we're back with the family together, and they're going to check out a discount book warehouse called Rock Bottom Remainders, despite the fact that Homer already says they own a book. And Marge is impressed with the selections of books, such as
Wisconsin from Above,
Veterans Day Parades, or AKA Steve's Birthday Parades.
That's right. Every day for me. We got Smiles of Ireland, the mother of those redheaded twins, must have their hands full.
The Kansas City Royals, forever champions.
Drink your own blood and save. Oprah recommends buy 3 copies.
Now the Royals, didn't they just win the World Series a few years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because they only won, when this episode was produced, the Royals only won one World Series championship, and that was 1985. But a mere 30 years later, 2015, they finally won the World Series.
Very good. Good for you, Kansas City, in whichever state you're in.
And don't forget the Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, everything's coming up KC.
So Homer discovers the Time Life Carpentry's library.
Cool, a carpenter's library. This doesn't look easy, but I'll bet it is.
Well, I like the idea of you as a handyman, and I love the idea of you reading.
Oh, yeah? Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, now you do me.
What a weird scene.
It is.
It's like the equivalent of like...
pretending to read.
Maybe like the equivalent of you get off on someone cooking for you. So pretend I'm cooking. Like, oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I got a pan in my hand and moving things around.
Oh, it must be so hot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The water's boiling, Steve.
Oh, don't look or it'll never boil.
Count sperm for me.
All right, Steve, enough of you.
Sorry. Tired now. Craig, did you know that bookshop, Rock Bottom Remainders, shares the name with a now-defunct rock band featuring several literary figures, including Amy Tan, Stephen King, and David Barry?
Well, someone like David Barry, they got to be funny.
Sure.
How about a YouTube clip here of the Rock Bottom Remainders?
Sounds good.
2012, we got Stephen King. It's like rocking out on the guitar. Yeah, it's something. It'd
yeah.
Hey, Stephen King, not you.
Oh.
Just keep writing.
Yeah. You know, Craig, I think that we might be the Rock Bottom Remainders of podcasting.
I'll wear that badge with courage.
A red badge?
Ours is more of a diarrhea brown. We are the Sugar Poops. Is that the name we're band again?
That's right. Sugar Poops.
So, like, it's just shit, but it has, like, that sparkly sugar on ding, top.
Ding, yeah.
Well, let's get back to the Simpsons at their lovely estate at 742 Evergreen Terrace. Lisa states that she doesn't want to go back to that mall as there are eels in the photo booth. And we get a very fun visual gag of some slimy eels photobombing the young Simpsons lass.
I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
Well, Marge has received a letter from Bart's school, which causes Bart to go on the defense.
Bart, here's a letter from your school.
A fire? I didn't start a fire in the teacher's lounge. I mean, what fire? I mean, a letter from school? Please elaborate.
Someone at your school has a life-threatening peanut allergy.
Cool. Who is it?
Well, the letter doesn't say. But from now on, no peanut products are allowed on school property. Let's see what you've got. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Trail mix starring peanuts. Good grief. More peanuts.
It's a fun little visual gag there. She literally holds a Peanuts book, Charles Schultz, Charlie Brown, Good Grief, More Peanuts.
I like that joke a lot.
Yeah.
But I do have an issue.
Sure.
Why is it a letter from Bart's school, not the kids' school? Because oh, don't yeah. Bart and Lisa go to the same school?
Right. Maybe Lisa should have been in the room too.
I mean, she just was with the eels.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess this is the way it was phrased. That's actually funnier now.
Yeah. Anyway, in the living room, Homer is enjoying a beer and watching some NASCAR. There's a pileup of drivers, including Harley Moselle, JT Delacroix, Earl Tillison, Buddy Roulette, the Pecker brothers, Danny and Dell, and the old grizzly himself, Weasel Johnson Jr. Look at that carnage. We are worse than the ancient Romans. Marge comes in and asks if Homer would like to build something with his new Fix-It books.
I did. I made a footrest.
Don't you have any follow-through on anything?
What's the point? We're all slowly dying.
Oh.
That's a good line. I like that line.
Yeah, but now we're all rapidly dying, Steve.
That's true. We head slowly in 2006. But we are innovators and we speed things up.
Just look at the list. We're on the bottom, so that means we're on the top.
That's right. And, you know, if we just stop testing tomorrow, it would go away.
So Marge heads up to the bedroom to tend to some laundry. She steps on a loose floorboard, which flies up and breaks her nightstand. Luckily for her, Volume 7, the Time Life Carpentry Library, Floorboards and Nightstands, happens to be nearby.
Yeah, so they're in the master bedroom, and the floorboard broke with the nightstand, but there were never floorboards in the bedroom. It was always a green carpet.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
So Marge busts out her tools and fixes the nightstand and discovers a strange feeling, that of accomplishment. She dives deeper into the repair book section and builds a new birdhouse, a new mailbox, a Simpson sign, and an elaborate doghouse, which Santa's little helper declines, opting for his old, more traditional domicile.
Hey, so Marge's mailbox is based on the architect Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water. And then, of course, Santa's Little Helper's new house is a replica of the Westminster Abbey.
Which is good because they have the Westminster Dog Show, so it just makes sense.
Yeah. And the Simpsons mailbox, you can see the Simpsons logo and the TCF copyright info. That was a fun visual gag.
Yeah. So Bart and Lisa praise their mother for their for her newfound handy skills. Why, she's like the Jesus of carpentry. And after that sweet blasphemy, Lisa tells Marge that people would even pay for her to fix things. And as she arranges the clip art for her letterhead in her mind, Marge is ready to start her own business. But her first customer is a little hesitant to come use her services.
Can I help you, miss?
Oh, I'm here to fix your bookcase. You answered my flyer.
Hmm, yeah. And you're the carpenter?
That's right.
I see. Not that I have anything against female carpenters, but I have some pictures hanging that you might find, unsavory. Goodbye.
A lady carpenter? I don't know. What if you get pregnant and I'm left with half a hot tub? And don't tell me you're infertile. I ain't falling for that again. It's so unfair. I'm as handy as any man.
You sure are, sweetie. I love this bed you made.
I guess people just expect their carpenter to be some fat guy with his butt crack showing. Homer, your butt just gave me a brilliant idea.
Yep, it'll do that.
Now, this is established that Chalmers, he has a daughter, Shauna, but I don't think she's established yet.
Right.
So going back to that, we'll just assume he's a single male. What photos does he have hanging up in his house? Like, seriously, what does he have hanging in his house?
I mean, you got to assume it's like, well, it's got to be two things, either something racist or something sexy.
I was
or
going
both.
With... Naked Nazis.
Yeah, I was imagining like a topless chick atop a horse with a Confederate flag hat.
Also, he's the superintendent of the Springfield schools. Like, that would be some scandalous shit to have if he's got, you know, pornography just hanging on his walls.
Yeah, I mean, that is a little weird.
Just thought it was weird. Mm-hmm. I like crusty chauvinistic comments there.
Yeah, say you're infertile. I'm not falling for that again.
Yeah. So the next day, Homer knocks on Professor Frink's door, announcing that the Simpsons manly man, Handyman, is out of service, and Homer is tasked with building a doggy door the size of a teacup poodle.
Aww.
And Homer sends Frink inside to stir his flubber, and once the Jerry Lewis parody is out of the sight, Homer knocks on his tool cabinet, and out comes Marge.
Oh, well, she begins to measure when she hides again upon hearing Professor Frink walk back.
I'm sorry, I thought I heard the sound of a woman measuring.
Oh, that was me. You know that old saying, measure like a girl, hammer like a guy.
Yes, but you're holding your hammer backwards.
Oh, you know what they say, hammer with the wood and it's all good. It's all good.
All right, then.
What? Is that the end of our first act, Steve?
Mercifully, yes. And our second act begins with Marge working hard as Homer looks on, gorging on potato chips. A dash of glue, a turn of a screw, and you have a gazebo that's built for two or more. But less than 10, because we're still in a pandemic, people.
Hey, real quick, the potato chips.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Bill Oakley put on Instagram the reviews for a couple flavors of new Lay's potato chips.
Yeah.
The Nashville hot chicken and the Philly cheesesteak.
Right.
I went to the store to get the Philly cheesesteak, but they're all sold out. Was that a Bill Oakley, like, push?
It could be. I mean, I wasn't too excited about the Nashville hot chicken ones.
No.
Because, I mean, that's like a big texture thing for me.
Yeah.
The fried chicken. But I wanted to try the cheesesteaks.
Okay, well, I got the pizza one instead.
Okay.
And the only pizza flavored I've ever had is Pringles, and they're okay. But
right.
I'm not a big Pringles guy.
No.
And anyways, I recommend the Lay's pizza chips.
Alrighty.
So
local, I think they're a local brand, Tim's Cascade Chips. They have a margarita pizza chip.
Ooh.
That is delightful.
All right, I'll put that on the list.
Yeah, because it reminds me of in the 80s, Keebler actually came out with a line of, I think, pizza tortilla chips.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now. Yep.
And those were delightful. And it could be just because it's like four and they were full of chemicals and salt and sugar.
Yeah.
But I remember them being delicious. And that's what the margarita potato chips remind me of.
Okay. Well, then maybe these Lay's pizza ones will kind of remind you of that too.
Yeah. Because you're right. I'm a fan of Pringles, but the Pringles potato chips, pizza potato chips rather, are a little meh. So far. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get the Lay's and let's get our news reporter, Kent Brockman. We're still doing a Simpsons podcast, right? Not a food podcast.
Oh, that's right.
All right. Well, Kent Brockman steps outside to see his backyard's newest addition.
And done.
Simpson, you're a master craftsman.
Listen, what would you say if I told you a woman did most of the work?
I'd have this gazebo torn down and built into a coffin for your manhood. Why did my hypothetical scenario scare you so?
Like all manly men, I have a vivid imagination.
Well said. Let's take off our shirts and wrestle.
Steve, I feel that we haven't been too manly on this podcast this week. So let's take off our shirts and wrestle real quick.
Alrighty.
Steve, why are we just grabbing my crotch?
That's how I wrestle. I may not win every time, but I make a friend.
Here, let me cool you down real quick.
I'm sleepy again.
Jesus.
Speaking of being sleepy after coming, we then head to Springfield Elementary, where Willie is stopping children before they enter to free them of their peanuts, goobers, and fluffer nutters.
So Bart wonders why he has to give his salty snack to keep one allergic kid from exploding. Who is that selfish jerk anyway? Probably Milhouse, isn't it?
You would think so, but no. He may be allergic to honey, wheat, dairy, non-dairy, and his own tears, but not peanuts. He cries in despair, and his tears cause his face to swell up, causing a need for an allergist. And once his glasses have broken, he needs an optometrist.
In this episode, Milhouse claims to be allergic to tears and has an allergy reaction when he cries. However, mm-hmm. in future episodes, and some past episodes, he cries and nothing happens, Steve.
Whoa. That's pretty bad.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
So Bart attempts to get the identity of the mystery wuss who can't have a peanut from Willie. But Willie will never say his name. But he's not saying it's a dude. After all, a principal can be a man or a woman these days.
I'm glad that the A story and B story are really hitting the sexual equality.
Yeah.
Gender equality.
Certainly got a message.
Yeah. Bart follows the groundskeeper as he brings the pilfered peanut products to Principal Skinner. Popping my peas there, Steve. Just like the English to the Scotch sheep and women in 1291, they sent them back, which was worse.
Oh, so Skinner instructs his lackey to burn the offending snacks, but Willie has to get his gob full first. This scares Armand Hemsarian, as a single molecule ingested would make his throat close like a museum at 4:45. This gets Bart to thinking.
We then go to Builder's Barn, who have a banner that reads, "Tell Mom you love her. Copy her keys." Inside, she is shopping for dials and other surprises when she's greeted by Helen Lovejoy and my girlfriend, Lindsay Nagel.
Picking up supplies for Handy Homer.
It must feel good to know that you're helping.
Oh, I help more than you might think.
Sure you do. You provide food and sexual release for your handy husband.
Looks like you broke something. Better call Homer.
They were so mean to Marge. She's not just a place to get off and make food.
This episode, Steve, I tell ya.
Yeah.
All right, well, back in the margin Homer's marital bed, Homer is on the phone with a potential client, committing to make a credenza, whatever the hell that is. He tells the would-be customer to give the details to Shirley, his assistant, secretary.
This is Shirley. Yes, fine. He'll be there tomorrow. Goodbye.
That Shirley is quite a gal. We should fix her up with Barney.
Homie, I think you're taking a little too much credit for my work. I mean, look at your T-shirt.
Marge, giving me credit was your idea. Now, could you rub my butt? I sat on it so much it's a little sore.
No.
Look, I'm sorry you're upset, but if we tell the truth now, I'll be humiliated in front of the whole town. Then you won't be married to a man. You'll be married to some kind of gay jellyfish floating outside the Florida Keys cruising for rich snorkelers. You don't want that.
I guess I don't.
A little bit to unpack in that clip. First of all, the shirt that he mentions is a communist-style propaganda poster that says, "I do all the work," with Homer holding a hammer.
That'd be a great shirt to have.
It would be a good shirt. It's a nice visual thing. Also, gay jellyfish. I don't know.
You have a problem with gay jellyfish, Steve?
No, I think they're great, you know?
Steve, are you a gay jellyfish?
I don't think so, but maybe I just haven't met the right other jellyfish. Now, do you think that if a jellyfish is into water sports, it's bad? Because the pee, I mean.
Let's go back to Springfield Elementary, Steve, speaking of all water right. sports. Bart has emptied out the trophy case and arranged the awards like bowling pins and rolls for a strike, and Lisa warns her brother that Skinner could be very upset if he gets caught. Bart laughs it off, saying his adversary might even blow up. Lisa is indifferent as she has some paper to mache.
Well, the principal does appear and sends the Hellraiser to detention. Bart says that he doesn't like detention. One could even say it drives him nuts. Bart then reveals his ultimate weapon against Principal Skinner, a peanut tied to a stick.
So this leads to Bart to send Seymour to a number of embarrassing tasks, such as...
writing, "A baby beat me up" on the chalkboard.
Being hit repeatedly by a tennis ball server, at first with tennis balls and then with cans of Buzz Cola.
And making an announcement over the school's PA system announcing, and I quote, "I'm a cootie eater. I've been one all my life. I like the cootie so much, I have a cootie wife."
Do we get Steve recording that? Saying that? Good? Okay, we're good. Blackmail. Meanwhile, Marge is adding to the finishing touches to a new windmill. Who is she, Don Quixote?
Why does Lenny need a windmill anyway?
He wants to grind his own corn. Maybe it'll finally shut him up about the high price of cornmeal. Switch!
Switch.
Wow, great job, Homer.
Yeah, and to think, you built this whole thing with your own two hands.
Who do you think would help me? My wife?
Your wife? Give me a break. The only thing women can build is credit card debt.
Credit card debt. Homer, did you leave a power drill on in your toolbox? It's making this horrible noise.
Yeah, I hear it too. Maybe we can cover it up by singing a fun song. We will rock you.
You. Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, play it in the street, gonna be a big man someday.
Hey, so I'm on Amazon.com, and you can get a 2-pack, 24-ounce pack of Quaker Yellow cornmeal for $11.18. You got Bob's Red Mill, which is a little more pricey, and that's at $9.71 for just a 1.5-pound pack, Steve. So,
but they're local.
They are local. So the Quaker's like the you know, basic brand.
Yeah.
I mean, how much cornmeal do you go through?
Maybe he really likes grits.
I don't think I've ever purchased cornmeal, Steve.
Really? We make a lot of polenta at home, and that's basically cornmeal.
Yeah.
It's a nice little porridge. It's good. You know, you can make it sweet or savory, like with like an egg or some cheese. It's delightful. All right.
Okay, fine. Jesus fucking Christ.
Eat more cornmeal.
Chill out, Mindy Kaling lover.
It's in the name right there. Meal. Cornmeal.
I have not a meal, Steve. It's just sugar. It's just grain sugar. Terrible. It's bad for you.
But how can I be in the sugar poops if I don't eat my poopy corn?
Oh, I love corn, by the way.
Yeah, corn is great. It's horrible, but it's great.
What's your favorite corn song?
The one where the guy like rap rocks and there's like weird bagpipes for some reason.
All right, well, enough about corn and the band Corn. We're the Sugar Poops.
That's right. We're the Sugar Poops. And I've got some dumb trivia that I don't think is actually trivia, but it makes me laugh.
Okay.
So Homer and Marge's carpenter clothes, and we've talked about this before, how we like to see our characters in different outfits. Their clothes slightly reference Mario and Luigi. And by this, we're talking about the Mario Brothers, in case you're confused about which Mario and Luigi we were talking about. So they reference their costumes, except for without the hat, the gloves, and the mustache. Also, the pants are patched up and stitched, and the sleeves are rolled up. So aside from all those things that are not like the Mario Brothers, it's kind of like the Mario Brothers.
The famous carpenter video game icons.
Exactly. Because they were known for being carpenters.
Yeah.
Always carpeting those toilets and pipes.
So it's all about carpentry, right, Steve? How come they never played the carpenter song?
That's what I was thinking.
Close to you.
Well, back at home, Homer is profusely apologizing to his wife, saying that he didn't know Lenny and Carl would jump on the cabinet and write it down the biggest hill in town. We then see the beat-up cabinet with an old Springfield sign and a colonial impersonator who was hit with the toolbox.
Marge declares that it's time people knew the truth. She's doing all the work, and she wants the credit, damn it. And Homer understands that his spouse is bad, so he figures now is the perfect time to let Marge know that the mayor has hired him to fix the old Springfield roller coaster, the Zoominator, which I'm guessing is a parody of...
Could it be?
Commando?
Conan the Barbarian?
Predator.
Twins.
There we go.
Yeah. It's the take on Twins.
Right. Okay, cool. No, wait, Zoominator. Oh, it's what the platform we record these podcasts on.
Anchor?
Oh, yeah, of course. Anchor. Not Zoom. We don't use Zoom. Who uses Zoom?
Oh, yeah. I totally didn't think about that.
Okay, well, Homer pulls down a wall chart bracket to show the amusement park ride. He compliments Marge on the installation of said bracket, and he says he wants credit if the kids ask.
This enrages Marge, causing her to tell Homer to fix that coaster by himself because she quits. She then tries to rip the chart off the wall, but due to her great construction, she cannot. Darn those countersuck molly clamps.
Outside the house, Skinner's torment continues as Bart stuffs stick after stick of lit dynamite and several cats down Seymour's pants.
This will not end well. And so on the roller coaster job site, Homer has amassed a crew of workers to help him.
Now, as I see it, the problem with this roller coaster is there are too many boring going-up parts. We need to replace them with kick-ass going-down parts.
Oh, yeah. Going-down parts. Mr. Simpson, shouldn't we begin by securing the struts?
Let me mull that over.
What are struts? No! I don't know anything about struts.
This guy's all bubble and no level.
So what? He's paying us 50 grand.
And I promised these guys money I don't have. And they're going to be so mad.
Let's go home.
I got to admit to you, Craig, I don't know what a strut is.
It's a cool walk you do down the street. And like some Sly and the Family Stones playing in the background, or maybe some Parliament, some Peep Funk.
Yeah. Maybe you're like carrying some paint cans and like the Bee Gees are playing.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a strut.
Okay, I guess I get it now.
I did enjoy some fun Dan Castellaneta acting of Homer.
The cry. It was. I liked him crying. I also like the guy in the audience.
Yeah, Homer does it a couple times in the series with the crying and the explaining. And yeah, fun stuff.
Yeah, I enjoyed that clip. So Homer, still in the cabinet, tries to hop away, hoping that nobody will notice. He then falls off a cliff and traps himself in the cabinet.
We cut to a scene of a dark school hallway, and Principal Skinner is walking. As a top-hatted silhouette appears behind him, the educator turns to find Peanut spokesperson, well, former Peanut spokesperson, Mr. Peanut, as he's dead now, Steve.
Yeah, he was replaced by Baby Nut.
He's like the Baby Nut's like the Baby Yoda, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, Mr. Peanut has him in his sights, and the British legume mascot asks if Skinner is ready to be lightly assaulted.
Ha.
Assaulted. There we go. He then lifts his monocle, which causes several peanuts with bat wings to fly out of his eye hole.
Yikes. The principal awakes from his nightmare, screaming. Bart is in the bedroom, peanut stick in hand, ready to make Seymour eat garbage. He then sends his foe to Android's dungeon and comic book shop to further embarrass himself.
Excuse me. I'm supposed to stand in your store window and breastfeed Bilbo Baggins.
Your cowering suggests that Bart has found your kryptonite.
Kryptonite? What's that? The "ite" suffix suggests a mineral.
I do not know whether to laugh or cry at your ignorance. I shall laugh. Ha ha! Kryptonite is Superman's greatest weakness.
Wait, maybe Bart has a kryptonite.
Perhaps, but for now, you may suckle your Baggins.
So I gotta admit, when I first heard it, I was confused because I thought that, so is he breastfeeding Bobo, like, whose nipple is coming out?
I assume he just has to suck on a Bobo toy.
Or is the toy being fed by him? Do you know what I mean?
Don't wreck my brain right now.
Because he's supposed to breastfeed Bilbo Baggins. So I'm imagining him holding
a toy.
Or Elijah Wood. And
Bilbo Baggins was Ian Holm and Martin Ian Freeman, Holm? Steve. Yes.
Ian Holm.
Ian Holm.
Ian Holm.
Ian Holm.
Ian Holm. Anyway, whomever's breastfeeding who, I wish them all the best. All the breast.
Here we go.
Yeah. In the dark of night, Principal Skinner has snuck into Dr. Hibbert's office at Springfield General Hospital. Inside, he is rifling through the personal medical files of one Bartholomew J. Simpson. Then he discovers Bart's weakness. But what could it be?
This seems like a plot point. I don't know. Maybe what would you call it?
Like a fallacy.
A phallic.
Phallic.
Oh. Erections. Steve, wouldn't the principal have knowledge of all the students' life-threatening allergens?
I guess.
We documented in their files.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have to break into like a local hospital to steal this information. Steve.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
Me too.
A lot of people getting fired from this episode, apparently.
I know. In this economy, too, it's bad.
Well, this was 2006 economy. We were booming.
Yeah, we were. But in 2 years, it's all going to go downhill.
That's right. Thanks, Obama.
No, really. Thanks, Obama. And as this recording, happy birthday.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. Back in the kitchen of 742 Evergreen Terrace, Homer is finishing a model of the roller coaster he is to repair. In classic Simpsons fashion, as he drops the car for a test run, the ride goes up in flames and collapses. Homer rolls a toy fire truck to extinguish the fire as he makes a woo siren sound and sobs, which I thought was a lot of fun.
Anytime something collapses and catches on fire is the best.
Yeah, I just happened to fall upon on the internet a 3-minute supercut of things combusting and going on fire. Quite enjoyable.
From The Simpsons or just in real life?
Oh, yeah, sorry. From The Simpsons.
You know how like people make the, it was a few years ago, some British family made the intro to The Simpsons, but it was like live action.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do all the things that have exploded on The Simpsons live action. We'll just like rig a box of cornflakes to explode. We pour the milk and the cereal together and just this last one, whatever just happened. I forgot already.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I just want to blow things up.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't say that on the podcast. Anyway, so we're still in the kitchen, Steve, and Lisa walks in and offers her father some advice. If he just gave Marge credit, maybe she'd help. So Homer tells Lisa that if he can fix the coaster by himself, all the lies he told would become true. And doesn't Lisa want her daddy's lies to be true?
Lisa just wants a daddy who lives in the real world. For Homer, though, the real world gets fainter and fainter every day.
I think from now on, we shouldn't be allowed to say the word daddy on this podcast.
We can't say daddy.
Let's go to our other story, Steve.
Okay.
So Bart is presenting Skinner with a bowler hat full of maggots. Seymour defiantly throws the hat to the ground and crawls away. He got something to say to that juvenile delinquent, that hellraiser, that hellion, Bart Simpson.
Simpson, you've been waving your nuts in my face for too long. Eat shrimp and die.
No, I'm allergic.
Stick on stick, just like the knights of old.
No one teaches me history.
Steve, as much as I'd like to play John Williams' Duel of the Fates this entire podcast, I'm not going to.
You don't want to get sued?
Just the mouse is coming after us eventually.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time. Yeah, there's some trivia that we'll get to, but basically it's that. It's an homage to Star Wars.
Which we already had the Triangle Wars, the video game, so...
Yep.
There's our Star Wars references.
Craig, though, I do have what some might call a blunder.
Do tell.
So a big point of this episode is Bart being allergic to shrimp, which we're about to see. However, he's been seen eating shrimp before.
What?
In Blood Feud, Marge lists Bart's allergies as butterscotch, imitation butterscotch, and glow-in-the-dark monster makeup, even though Marge wanted to cook Bart butterscotch chicken on a Milhouse Divided as a reward for only getting 3 cavities at the dentist. And Bobby Mommy Beerist and the Frying Game clearly show Bart eating shrimp without any adverse reactions. It is possible for allergies to randomly appear and disappear. I love it when they say the possibles of blunders, totally dismissing their argument. He could have gained a shrimp allergy and lost the other ones. Furthermore, as shown as a heartbroken kid, he is allergic to cauliflower. So he has several allergies or none. And for this half hour, it's shrimp.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
You know what? I hope they don't get fired. I just hope they get reprimanded. That's all.
Yeah.
Maybe dock them a week's pay. Treat them like they're police officers who do something bad, like kill someone. You know, that.
So give them more pay?
Right.
And a vacation?
Not a political podcast? Yeah. We continue with the Duel of the Fates with Bart and Skinner. And they're fighting with their allergen sticks. And, you know, just like lightsabers, right?
Yeah.
And they battle over Ralph out the school window and onto a moving bus.
They jump and flip to avoid signs, drive through a concrete overpass, and land in Springfield's Little Bangkok District. They slide into a Thai food factory, formerly a Petco. I hate that joke. Yeah, it's just like the whole Asian food is cat
right,
food.
Right.
Or is, yeah,
dogs.
Yeah, it's, I don't like it. And they land onto a rope bridge.
Beneath them, there is a large vat of peanut shrimp. Peanut shrimp. It's both their weaknesses, Steve.
Oh.
The oddly placed bridge starts to give. If either of them fall, they're doomed.
Bart declares, kids don't die. You know, unless they're in a school shooting or something.
Or if they're going back to school this year in 2020.
That's also a good point.
Yeah. Hey, your president wants your kids to die for this country.
But not for...
A political podcast.
Yeah. So Bart takes a flying leap towards his principal. The two fall in the vat of the Asian delicacy. And as both of their faces swell, Bart has one final statement.
I was El Barto.
No!
So how about some fun, that Skinner trivia there at the end?
Mm-hmm.
When he yells no, it's two references to the Star Wars. One to The Empire Strikes Back when, spoiler alert, by the way, Darth Vader tells his son, Luke Skywalker, that he's his son. Luke screams, no!
No!
Oh, that makes sense now. Okay, I get the movies now.
Also, to mirror that in The Revenge of the Sith, episode 3, when Darth Vader's now Darth Vader, the Emperor's like, Darth Vader's like to the Emperor, hey, what happened to Natalie Portman? And the Emperor's like, oh, you killed her. And then you get to hear James Earl Jones do a...
No!
So I think that Harry there did a great James Earl Jones Vader no.
Yeah, it was good. It was a nice homage.
And of course, we talked earlier that that's the Duel of the Fates from The Phantom Menace, the music. So yeah.
Well, all that Star Wars talk is fun.
Star Walk.
Speaking of walks, Principal Skinner claimed that his peanut allergy is so severe that a single molecule could cause his throat to close up. If this is the case, then he should have started having a reaction as soon as they walked into the factory, rather than only when they fell in the vat.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
Well, anyways, back to the episode, Steve. We get Homer. Remember, he's got the whole roller coaster to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, he has a banner that reads, Homer Simpson presents the Zoominator. He's donning his tux and a top hat and is ready to unveil the ride for all the ladies, gentlemen, under guests, and out-of-town roller coaster weirdos.
I like the weirdos wearing shirts showing off their favorite rides, including Newton's Bridge, Dilbert's Flying Cubicle, and Vomit Mountain. And also them going, yay! Was fun too.
That's funny because there is like back when there was amusement parks, mm-hmm. and there is people out there that are like, you know, they travel to all the amusement parks every year and rate the roller coasters. And, you know, it's a thing. I'm not a big ride guy, roller coaster person.
Huh. I like them just fine, but I don't care that much about them. Like, I like Universal Studios more than Disneyland, which I know is kind of a controversial take, but it's mostly because the Harry Potter land and the Simpsons land are so, like, much more fun.
Well, I'm more of a Knott's Berry Farm fan because I like Snoopy.
Oh, aren't you fun?
I can only afford Knott's Berry Farm, Steve.
It's okay. I could only afford an Enchanted Forest.
No one knows what that is.
No, it's a local joke. There's a, they call it an amusement park. It's more like a B-musement park.
Oh, I think the last time I was there is with you. That was like probably in 2006.
Yep. Blaine stole a bunch of shit.
We almost got stuck in Alice's hole.
That's right. And so, then we got on the ride.
So it's like a fairy tale themed park. There's like two or three roller coasters or rides, I guess.
Yeah. And I mostly remember the water one.
Yeah. And that was okay, actually. That was kind of fun. But yeah. It doesn't like flip you upside down or anything like that. It just, you know, goes up and down. Homer wouldn't have liked it because it's more ups than downs. And unlike this episode. But there's a, literally it's called Alice, like through, it's Alice's Hole, like in Alice in Wonderland. And it's literally just, you're walking the pathway, the concrete pathway. And there's just a hole, a concrete hole that kids can crawl through. It's concrete and dirty. And
yeah.
It's going through the looking glass, right? Essentially. It's just like, just drill a hole in the sidewalk and kids can crawl under it. That's a ride. And the creepy, like, Humpty Dumpty, like, oh, so many creepy things there.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, a lot of it is, like, behind glass. And it's just, like, the retelling of a fairy tale story. And it's not even a ride. It's just like, hey, look, there's Hansel and Gretel over there.
Yeah. Oh, I have a recommendation. Travel Channel TV show Ghost Adventures. They actually did a lockdown in Enchanted Forest.
Oh, wow.
Spoilers, I don't think it's haunted, but they just did it anyways because of the creepy everything.
That makes sense since ghosts aren't real.
Yeah. So go ahead and check that episode out. Okay, let's go back to The Simpsons.
All right. Marge, camcorder in hand, is ready to expose her husband for the credit-stealing fraud that he is. She begins to record, but not before changing the caption on the video from Vacation Memories to anniversary fun and landing on husband's public humiliation.
So Homer drops the curtains and reveals the Zoominator. Now to get stinking drunk, Homer pops the cork of champagne and the cork flies into the air, hitting a bolt on the roller coaster. This causes a chain reaction of more bolts falling, beams to crack, and the whole ride to buckle. And a couple in the crowd offer their reaction while Lisa continues to try to advise her father.
I'm not getting married on that.
You won't get married on Colossus? You won't get married on the Zoominator? You won't get married on the Pharaoh's curse? Just say it! It's me!
Oh, no, baby, no!
Dad, put aside your selfish male ego and tell the truth!
Sure, I'll tell them the truth. The truth is that I'm perfect, and everything I touch is perfect!
Woo-hoo! Oh, my God, he'll kill himself! You'll never hear me say, I told you so.
I never felt safer.
Homer, on the roller coaster, ascends up a hill, and as the ride shakes, he speeds down and sees several spots on the track, or on the roller coaster, where tracks are missing. He questions why we must preserve America's historical roller coasters and lifts his shirt up for a picture before falling what may be his demise.
Marge jumps to the rescue, repairing pieces of the coaster just before Homer rides over them, and he rises and falls and admits that his male pride caused him to lie to the crowd, and everything he claimed that he did was actually built by his wife, Marge.
Oh, the crowd shares a collective aw, and Marge admits that she was pretty upset with Homer. As she's about to forgive him, an I-beam falls, causing the roller coaster to collapse.
Isn't I-beam a crossword clue a lot?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's what I was thinking. Like, yeah. Steve likes crosswords. I-beam is always one.
Yep, almost as much as Alan Alda.
Homer wakes up in the hospital and realizes that Marge is the real roller coaster and that he's glad he has Marge as his safety bar. And Homer is forgiven, like he always is.
That's right. And in the adjoining hospital room, Bart and Skinner are recovering from their allergy-related injuries. As the two foes throw allergens at one another, their faces swell, and Marge is off to look at the new babies. And that's our episode.
Don't forget they got to use Duel of Fates one more time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Speaking of fates, that doesn't make sense. Let's take a break real quick, and let's have a peanut shrimp fight.
Ooh, sounds like fun. We'll be right back.
I'm gonna go look at the new babies.
All right, we're back, Steve. Let's finish up this week's episode like we always do with our fun favorite visual gags or quotes or scenes. And our review and maybe a couple other reviews.
Sounds great.
All right, Steve. What do we got for quotes here?
Oh, there's a fair number of them.
Oh, tell us a fair number.
A fair number. I'm just going to say it. I think that, you know, I'll get to my review, but everyone in this episode was kind of annoying. But Homer was the funniest. I like when Marge came in and asked him about building the something with his fix-it books. He was something to the effect of, we're all dying slowly. I thought that was funny. You mentioned earlier about Homer's work, talking about, or Dan's work, crying and explaining about how he doesn't know about struts. But I think my favorite joke, and it's really, really stupid, but it's between Bart and Skinner.
Yep, I know what you're going to say.
And it's just Skinner saying, Simpson, you've been waving your nuts in my face for too long. Eat shrimp and die.
That's my favorite quote, too. Yeah. It was dumb.
Yeah, it's the best quote from the episode, I think.
You know, for like MVJ, I think Bart did have some of the better jokes throughout this episode. The whole Kent Brockman and Homer scene was so stupid, but the whole like, let's take our shirts off and wrestle.
Yeah.
But you said it already with, I should have gone first so I could take in your nuts instead of you taking my nuts.
My nuts are my body.
Yeah.
I will say that, we talked about it, but the Super Nintendo Chalmers talking about having some unsavory yeah. pictures. I mean, I don't know what it means, but it made me think a lot. So that's something. Maybe he's an amateur butcher.
Okay, sure.
And he has like dead animals that he took photos of. Or actually, he didn't even say that they were perverted photos. He literally said unsavory. What is unsavory? Sweet. He's got pictures of sugar poop.
Us?
Yep, pictures of us.
Our band, the Sugar Poops?
Exactly.
But we're naked in all of our photos.
Exactly.
We're waving our nuts in little boys' faces named Bart.
This is true.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, that's our quote. We just like nuts. Hey, can I backtrack real quick?
All right. I'll allow it.
We talked about Angry Video Game Nerd and the Polybus video game. He actually did review it in Angry Video Game Nerd. So it is a review.
Good to know. It's you should check that out, listener.
Right. How about some visual gags? What would you get on a shirt or a tattoo or anything? I mean, we talked about the shirt that Homer's actually wearing, the Russian, you know,
ideal
work.
That's a pretty direct one. Also, the Persian CD by Nabil of him just holding flowers and a burning American flag is kind of fun. I usually do t-shirts or something like tactile. I'm going to go with tattoos this week.
Ooh, we haven't had some tats in a while.
Exactly. And I want on my arm a face of Milhouse crying, the reaction to the allergy. So his face is all swollen up. His glasses are broken and he just looks a mess.
I was going to stop you and say, like, you actually want something tattooed from this episode on your body, but...
Yeah.
Perfectly cromulent.
Thank you. What about you, Craig? What's your looking at thing, or visual gag, as some people call it?
Looking at thing. We should just rename it to looking at thing. Should I just get a shirtless Brockman? And I want a shirtless Brockman and a shirtless Homer wrestling.
I like it.
Explain that. I mean, you could do the, what if we do the combo of you know, Skinner and Bart and Milhouse with all the allergens.
Yeah, that's a nice addition. That just the whole gamut of allergy people reacting to tears, nuts, and shrimp.
Maybe I'll just get the opening credits there, the couch gag with Ralph eating Homer.
I like that. That's actually really good.
Bart. Yeah.
When at first you said opening credits, I thought it would just be like the clouds separating and it's just saying the Simpsons. Like that's all you could get from this episode.
That's all I got from this episode. It was like the Simpsons.
I like it when they said the Simpsons. But no, I think that Ralph holding a beheaded Homer is pretty good.
All right. Well, that's our fun little thing we like to do here. Let's just get down to it. Let's review it. But before we review it, maybe there's some other people that like this episode or hated this episode.
Yeah.
Right now, we got a couple fun, positive reviews here. We got this one from TV.com from Dragon Dude 4. He wrote it September 5th, 2009. So a couple years after this episode actually aired. He gave it a 9.0 and it's a great episode. In this episode, Homer buys books about carpentering, but then Marge becomes a carpenter. But guys won't hire her. I guess I'm reading this verbatim. So guys won't hire her because she is a girl. Then Marge got an idea that Homer is the carpenter, but Marge does the work. Then Bart learns that Skinner is allergic to peanuts, and Bart makes Skinner do whatever Bart wants. Then Skinner learns that Bart is allergic to shrimp, and then they have a light sword battle. And I really like the part when Bart says, "Kids, don't die." Then Homer tells everyone that Marge did the work, and I like the part when he say, "I'm perfect." Then Homer and Bart and Skinner are in that doctor. So again,
I love it.
Again, English might not be the person's first language. They could have done it like a translator, or it's literally Dragon Dude 4, and 4 stands for the age. But it was 4. Pretty good writing for a 4-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, I did enjoy when Bart and Skinner are in that doctor.
It tickles. Can you tell who's got the peanut or the shrimp dick?
Either way, I'm gonna nut.
Well, peanut and shrimp are, you could describe a male genitalia. Was Bart and Skinner's whole thing about they both have small dicks?
I mean, that would explain a lot.
Bart's got a shrimp dick and Skinner's got a peanut dick. What does this even mean?
I don't know, but if I learned anything from Tommy Boy, shrimp has a line of poop going up it.
So Bart's got shit on his dick.
That's what I'm saying, and I don't like it.
It's probably Milhouse's shit.
You're probably right, but I still don't like it.
Wow. See, why are you covering your face right now? We will not be censored.
Stupid show.
Okay.
It should be censored.
Probably. Steve, do you got a review for us?
I do. And this one is from the International Movie Database. It is by Neil the Hero from October 8th, 2006. So just a month or so, or a couple weeks, really, after the episode originally aired. They give it a 9.6. They title it, "Wow, Wow, the Funniest Episode for Me. Of course, Best Episode Ever."
How many exclamation points do we got there, Steve?
Looks like your standard 4.
Okay.
So here we go. "Wow, a lot of jokes is awesome. Marge starts her own business. Homer gets all credit of shame. Principal Skinner is allergic to peanuts. Bart Willie Bart to scrimp. A funny blade-like battle of the allergies. Skinner and Bart enter the peanut factory." Well, I guess. "Anyhow, Bart and Skinner realize that peanut scrimp are together and both fell off and have nipples appearing on their faces. That's the funniest part of the show. Bart is the beginning, knows Skinner's allergies, peanuts, and blackmails him. Homer's stupid fact was in the toilets. He started talking, and then the workers hear him permanently trying to build his own roller coaster. It worked, but in the end, it broke."
I think I'm broke in the end of hearing that review.
Yeah, I mean, what are words?
No matter. What is matter?
No mind.
But we always say, I said earlier, English might not be the first language, but this is...
"Both fell off and have nipples appearing on their faces." I miss that part completely. I don't remember any nipples.
And you were looking.
Oh, yeah, I always look. I mean, when Kent and Homer were fighting, I counted 4, but...
Steve, I don't think we can review it as well as Dragon Dude 4 or Neil the Hero has reviewed this episode.
Yeah, I mean, they both live up to their name because, Neil, you're my hero. Yeah. And Dragon Dude, you blew me away.
I want Dragon Dude and Neil to they should be hosting this podcast.
That's
enough,
right.
Enough of us. Let's just do our incoherent review now, Steve.
Alrighty. This episode, there were like some individual fun jokes, but all in all, this just fell completely flat for me. Whatever you call the A plot, the Homer and Marge thing.
Yeah, I'd say that's the A plot.
Yeah. Sexism is bad. Nobody's denying that. This felt really heavy handed. And even in 2006, the idea of a female carpenter, that's not that weird. Like Craig said earlier, there was Karen, but...
I was like, wait, who's Craig? I forgot that's me.
I'm not talking about those Karens that are at Walmart either. I'm talking about Karen Carpenter.
Wait. I get it.
But basically, this episode just felt like unnecessary. Both plots were just like, what's in the news today? Sexism and allergies. All right, get to work.
You're right. The allergy thing, that was kind of around this time. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. It's always been a thing, but I think the media was portraying it more so than when we were kids. Like,
yeah,
we didn't know what kids were allergic to what.
And I do remember at this time, there's a big scare about peanuts in schools and like having to send kids home. And
well, it's because Charles Schulz was a huge anti-Semite.
This is true.
I'm just now making that up. You said there's a peanut scandal in school.
It was weird that in the Thanksgiving episode, Franklin, the one person of color, had to sit by himself, like on the one side of the table, whereas everybody else sat on the other side. But I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, like I said, there are some jokes that were funny, but it's not a cohesive episode. And, you know, we talk a lot about A plot versus B plot and how they coincide. And all in all, it just didn't work for me on either side. Lisa was just extra. Like, she could have had anything to do with the allergy plot. And for the main plot, she just basically told Homer to not be a dick. And if you're trying to paint him as sexist, I don't know that Marge being suggesting something that he ultimately does and then blames him for it is effective. So this episode is just kind of a mess for me all around. I just don't think that it works. So let's pretend that in the game Triangle Wars, there's 100 episodes. I give this episode, or there's 100 levels in Triangle Wars. I give this level 27 triangles out of 100.
That's pretty shitty.
Yeah, not right. Unlike their new album from the Sugar Poops. Sweet, sweet shit.
Steve, I'm not going to lie, Steve. All right.
Okay.
It's going to be weird. We seem to agree usually on this podcast of either liking or disliking an episode. This time, though, I'm going to have to say that, yeah, it's the same. I wasn't into this. I was trying to look into the 2006 eyes, but you said it too, is like carpentry. Like I went to, sometimes I go to Reddit and see what people say about the episode, and someone, person I think is from Germany, just said, what was the point of please Homer don't hammer them? And they write, in this episode Marge becomes a carpenter, but she can't find a job because nobody wants a female carpenter. In Germany we say that there is truth in every joke. So what is the point of that episode? Is it really harder for a female carpenter in the US to find a job? So again, this person probably translated their German, you know, to English, and I think they're pointing out like they don't understand that this whole episode was about, you know, gender equality, you mm-hmm. know, and someone's like, someone made a point. It's like, yeah, I think that it's more about the traditional gender roles and how we perceive them. The episode was saying that Marge could do just as good a job as any man, but because of being a carpenter is traditionally a man's job, people would be reluctant to hire her. And then the person responds like, yeah, I get that, but why do they feel the need to make an episode like that? Are these traditional gender roles still a big thing? And this was from 2006. This comment was from 6 years ago. So still, right, in 2006, like, you know, we're at the point of like, okay, I think we understand, you know, women can do whatever. Like, you know, women are in the military at this time, you know.
Yeah.
I don't remember this when it aired. I think last week I said I remember like Bart with a fishing pole and a peanut. Well, it wasn't a fishing pole, it was a stick. But mm-hmm. I remember that absurd B plot. But honestly, that B plot, I wasn't too bothered by that.
That's fair. Yeah.
I just think the jokes of everyone just saying like, oh, a woman can't do that. And like, it's like the blatant obvious jokes too. Of like, they know they're making fun. Like, they know that this is all like, they don't believe it. And they're just like straight up just doing this whole episode about like gender equality. I don't know. It's just like, no pun intended. It was just hammering it in too much, you know?
Yeah.
This episode, like, especially now, if you look into the 2020 goggles of the way where, you know, it's not a good episode.
Yeah.
I can see them actually pulling this episode off in like seasons 1 through 3, and it might be more poignant. Even like when, you know, because Marge gets a job as a cop, and that was like, this was just kind of like a rip off of that episode, which
that's a really good point.
Now I'm thinking about it, Marge being a cop, but. But yeah,
Lisa does have a good line in that episode about how cops are bad. But yeah, you actually make a really good point that I think this would have hit differently if it was like a season 2 episode, like you say, and it would make us think and like we'd appreciate it more, like, oh man, the 90s are weird.
But this one just fell, and I'm not a fan. So that being said, when Skinner's in the comic book store, he finds out about kryptonite, and Krypton is actually an element on the periodic table, Steve.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the Krypton's atomic number is 36.
Nice.
So out of 36, I'm going to give a 3.
Fair enough. I'm not going to say that I'm surprised by your choice, but I respect it greatly.
Yeah, it's a miss. If it's on, I think I would probably skip it.
I think I'd agree, and I wouldn't recommend it for other people to watch. I think that it can just be one of those forgotten episodes.
I will agree, and let's not forget what we're going to watch next week.
Alrighty. But to do that, Craig, we need that good old Wheel of Random.
All right.
Alrighty, let's spin to see what season we're watching. Doo-doo.
We got season 20.
Season 20. Alrighty, and let's check out which episode from season 20 we are watching.
Woohoo! Episode 13.
Season 20, episode 13. Why, Craig, I believe that one is called Gone Maggie Gone.
Let you know it aired on March 15th, the Ides of March, Steve.
Ooh.
And the year of 2009.
Hmm.
Yeah. So Lisa infiltrates a convent in order to steal back Maggie, who is accidentally taken by nuns. While in the convent, Lisa uncovers a series of clues leading to a hidden jewel in Springfield.
Oh.
Steve, do you remember Gone Maggie Gone?
Not in the least.
Oh, Steve. It was written by Billy Kimball and Ian Maxtone Graham.
Uh-oh.
If you've never listened to this podcast before, we have to bring it up. Those two guys wrote our least favorite episode that we've ever reviewed. Steve, remember that episode?
I think it was called The Scorpion's Tale. Rocked you
like a hurricane. Yep. And we just recently, I think last week, reviewed Dark Knight Court that they wrote, which Guess we weren't really fans of that one either.
No, I mean, maybe more than this one or the Scorpion's Tale, but yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, we still like the guys.
Yeah.
Well said, Steve.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to watching that next week with you, Steve. In the meantime, you can always check out our TeePublic store, which is teepublic.com/user/annoyedgruntboys. You can also contact us on the social medias at 138Simpsons on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And you can always email us at 138simpsons@gmail.com. And if you're so kind, go to your favorite podcatching app and leave us a review. Leave 5 stars or the equivalent and just write something. I don't care what you write. Just write your favorite chalkboard gag of all time. That's what I want. Now that's what I want. Okay. I don't want quotes. I don't want questions. Just write a chalkboard gag.
All right. Well, you could do the other things too. I'll allow the other things.
Okay, fine.
All right. Well, for this week, I've been half an annoyed grunt boy, Craig.
And I've been half an annoyed grunt boy, Steve.
And remember, keep watching the skis.
And quit waving your nuts in my face.
What's that strange feeling?
Your nuts in my face.